I'm just listening on the inside. Amen. I'm not lost. I'm saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Did I ask you to go to Mark chapter 11? I didn't. Open your Bible. Where'd you open to? Just nowhere, huh? Mark chapter 11. We're talking about the basics of faith on Wednesday nights. Amen. The basics of faith. We have covered the new birth in lesson number one. Can't go back there and teach it over, much as I'd love to. We covered righteousness. We covered the fact that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in a position of tremendous authority over Satan and demon powers and over the angels of God. Amen? Get the CD if you weren't here. Amen? We talked the last time we were together about the fact that we have the right to use the name of Jesus in prayer and expect supernatural results. Why? Because we're brand new creations that never existed before. Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because we are seated in heavenly places at the Father's right hand in a position of tremendous authority. That's why tonight we're going to be talking about the power of words. If I had my way, I'd be preaching and teaching on the power of words all the time. Thank you, Cynthia. Hallelujah. She took the words right out of my mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, in your Bible, let me go to the King James here. Amen? Mark chapter 11. Now, John chapter 10, verse 10, is probably what I ask you to... The greatest revelation, I say it all the time. John 10, you're in Mark chapter 11, you're going to stay there, amen? I'm going over there too. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 10:10, you're not going there, you're going to Mark 11. I saw some of you jump to turn to John 10:10. I always say John 10:10 is the greatest revelation in all of Scripture, amen? It's a revelation the people in the Old Testament didn't have, but we have. And that revelation is this. Jesus said the thief came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Not God. Satan is in this earth to kill, steal, and destroy. Not our Father. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That reveals that Satan is the damner, God is the blesser. End of story. Greatest revelation in all of Scripture. God is a good God, and if you'll expect, something good is always about to happen to you, if only you believe. Amen? Now, that's the most important revelation in all of Scripture. That's what I say. Amen? And I say Mark 11:23 is one of the most fascinating revelations in all of Scripture. Right here, Mark 11:23. This will be our text for teaching and preaching tonight. Let's pick it up in 22. Jesus had just cursed a fig tree 24 hours before. They're passing by it 24 hours later, and they see that it's withered up. Take it in 21 with me. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto Jesus, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, you've been here with me before, if you've been in this church for any length of time, and I've showed you on numerous occasions that the Greek actually says, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. What kind of faith is that? Number one, it's the kind that works. Amen? And look right here in the next verse, he describes how to have the God kind of faith. Somebody go in the Amplified Bible to Zechariah chapter 4 as quickly as you can get there. Barbara, you go to Zechariah chapter 4. You're right at it, right there. Amen? And I'm going to read to you. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain... Now, Barbara's going to show us in a moment that when Jesus was talking about a mountain, he's talking about human obstacles and human problems. Throughout the Scripture, human obstacles and human problems are referred to as mountains. Jesus said, whosoever shall say that word say unto this mountain or problem, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, please say believe, that those things which he saith, please say saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Please say saith. Now I want you to know right here in Zechariah chapter 4, if you would read to me, Barbara, verse 7, Zerubbabel was having difficulty getting the temple rebuilt. He was encountering many obstacles, and the Spirit of the Lord came to him and gave him a word of encouragement concerning the rebuilding of the temple and the problems, the human problems he was encountering in doing so. Read in verse 7 as loud as you possibly can what the Spirit of the Lord said to Zerubbabel.
For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles?
O great mountain of what?
Human obstacles.
O great mountain of what?
Human obstacles.
Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him, you shall become a plain, you great mountain, a mere molehill. The Bible actually says, who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles, that you would dare come against Zerubbabel in the rebuilding of the temple? I wanted you to see from the scripture for yourself that the Bible refers to mountains as human obstacles, or human obstacles as mountains. Amen? Amen. Jesus is saying right here that we can speak to the mountains in our lives, or the human obstacles in our lives, and we can command them to be removed. Now, I'm going to read the verse to you again. I've done this with you on numerous occasions in the past, but there's new people here. This is review for some. It's revelation for others. And I'm going to ask you to stop and circle words in your Bible as we go. And if you don't write in your Bible, throw it out and get one you can write in. Amen? Now, Jesus said in verse 23, are you with me? You ready? For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, circle that word say, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, circle that word believe, that those things which he saith, circle that word saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now circle that word saith. Now whether you realize it or not, you just circled the word say in one form or another three times. Say and saith three times. Amen? And you circled the word believe one time. You see that you did that if you wrote in your Bible just now. Amen? Jesus is actually saying in this verse of Scripture, if you're going to see the obstacles that the devil throws before you in your life removed, you're going to have to be doing three times more talking to those obstacles than you are believing for God to remove those obstacles. He's saying here, you're going to have to do three times more saying than believing. Pastor, we already talked about this. And we're going to always talk about it, baby doll. Amen? Because we haven't got it down yet. Anybody have in here ever eat chicken? Huh? Anybody ever eat chicken? Come on, give me a positive response in here tonight. Amen? Well, just because you ate chicken once, you're never going to eat it again? You ever eat a salad? Well, you ever say, I had salad, I'm through with salad forever? No, we eat it over and over again. And the Word of God is spirit food, so we have to eat it over and over again to nourish our human spirits, to be strong in faith. Jesus said, you can't pray one way and talk another. You've got to keep your mouth in line with your prayers. This is a fascinating revelation from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it, not me. You hear what I'm saying? Most believers today, least that I know of, they got the believing part down real good. If it's in there, they believe it. From the publisher in the front to the maps in the back, they believe it. But they don't speak it. Amen? They don't speak in line with their prayers. Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. Didn't he write there in verse 22? He said, have faith in God. I told you it actually says in the Greek, have the God kind of faith. And then he showed us that the God kind of faith is the kind of faith that does three times more saying, or three times more speaking the solution to the problem than just believing for the problem to be resolved. Words have power. Words are containers. Words contain either life or death, blessing or cursing. Why do you think the Lord said in Deuteronomy 30:19, I've placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life that thou and thy seed may live. How do you choose life and how do you choose death? By choosing words. You choose life by choosing words of life. You choose death by speaking words of death and dying. Proverbs 18:21, just put that in your notes if you would please. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Oh, so many believers are being hung by that tongue. Things are happening to them instead of for them. And they're saying goofy things like, well, I guess it wasn't God's will to heal me after all, because I didn't get healed. Well, that's your fault, not God's. Because God has provided healing in the covenant. Amen? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. If you keep saying it's not working, that your prayers aren't being answered, you're believing for healing, and you keep saying, I don't see it, I don't see it, and God keeps saying it is working, and you keep saying it ain't working, you're canceling out what God's saying. You are the final authority, not God. You are the deciding factor, not God. If you keep saying goofy things like that wild kid of mine, he ain't ever going to be saved. Well, guess what? That wild kid of yours, he ain't ever going to be saved. And it's your fault. On the other hand, let's approach this positively. That child of mine, he loves God. Acts 16:31 says, because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be saved and my entire household will be saved. I walk by faith. Not by sight. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm moved by what I believe. And my Bible says, and I believe my Bible says that the promise is to me, my children, and my children's children, however far off, not one of my children will go to hell. Not one of my children will leave this earth and go off into eternity without making Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of their lives. That's what I have to say. Final word. End of story, devil. You're not taking any of my kids. You know most of our common sayings? Now, I only speak one language. Well, I speak two. I speak English and Broko Seki Pirama Nagisate. I speak tongues. Amen? Amen? Baptism with the Holy Spirit is for everybody. Amen? Amen? Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you in Acts 1:8. If you're void of power, it's not God's fault. He's waiting to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where am I? Sigi, pera, dusha, kima, rasa, toge, berregisha, tege. Common sayings. That would have come right back to me. I prayed in tongues. She got the interpretation. Most of our common sayings are negative sayings. The devil has taken the law of faith right under our noses, and he's twisted it, and he's distorted it, and he's got us to cooperate with him, getting us to operate in the law of faith in reverse. By negative talk and negative sayings that have become just commonplace, and we just accept them, and we shouldn't. Give me an example.
Tickled to death.
Oh, tickled to death. That's a terrible one. What if Jesus walked in this room? Can you imagine if Jesus walked into this room? We're talking about you can have what you say, Jesus said. As long as you get scripture for it. Amen? Amen? You can have what you say as long as you have scripture. As long as it's legal, moral, and scriptural, you can have it. What if Jesus walked in this room and touched every person in this room and said to every person in this room, from this moment on, Every word you speak will come to pass immediately. From this moment on, every word you speak will come to pass immediately. How many people would say, well, that just thrills me to death? Would be conducting funerals for 2 weeks. Amen? Well, we would be. Well, that just tickles me to death. Most of our common sayings are negative. Enemy, Satan, using the law of faith to destroy us. What goes around, comes around. Amen? Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. You keep talking that way, and things are just going to get worse and worse, not better and better, because Jesus said you're going to have what you say, not just what you pray. And you know you don't even have to believe it's true. You can set the law of faith into operation against yourself and not even believe that words have power and be defeating yourself all the time. Jesus said this, not me. You get anything out of this? It's review for some. It's revelation for some. My family, we're prone to cancer. Would you like me to conduct a service? Huh? My family, we're prone to cancer. How about, I'm the last one at my place of employment. I'm always the last one to ever be considered for a raise or a promotion. I don't doubt it. If that's the way you talk, I don't doubt it. Amen? Your words are your servants, Jesus said. And he said you're going to have what you say, not just what you pray. We are talking about the basics of faith in these Wednesday night sessions. This is elementary. This is one of the first things Jesus taught and demonstrated to his disciples, is that words have power. If it's not one thing, it's another. Most of our common sayings are negative, and we need to train ourselves, retrain ourselves, to stop causing things to happen to us when God's wanting them to happen for us. Is anybody getting a hold of that propositional statement that I use constantly around here? Helen's raising her hand. It is time. Say, it is time. For things to start happening for me and to stop happening to me. You know how it's going to happen? By the words of your mouth. Words are containers. They carry either life or they carry death. Jesus said it, not me. Where can we go from here? Go to Mark chapter 5. I have an idea. It just came into my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. You talked failure. You're going to drop to the level of failure. It's a spiritual law. Talk success, and you're going to rise to the level of success. Did you ever see a negative word come out of Jesus' mouth? Did you ever? Now, he corrected people for unbelief. He corrected people for unbelief and rebellion. But did you ever hear Jesus use common negative phrases? Did you ever hear Jesus say things like, you know, boys, you've been with me for 3 years, the 12 of you. And I'm telling you, if I learn one thing, it's this. If it ain't one thing, it's another, with one or more of you. Did he ever say that? Did Jesus ever speak negative? Peter said Jesus is our example in all things. Jesus never spoke negatively because he knew the power of words. That's why he cursed the fig tree. Now, you're in Mark chapter 5. I understand that you are there. We were over there in Mark chapter 11, and I explained to you that he had just cursed the fig tree 24 hours before, came back the next morning, and the thing had withered from the roots and died from the inside out. Peter was astonished, and Jesus said, listen, have the God kind of faith. You can do this too. That's what he was saying to the disciples. That's what he's saying to you in the Word. You can do this too. What, go around cursing people's ornamental trees in their front yard? No! It's the principle. And somebody said one time, he had no right cursing that tree. It wasn't his. Oh, it wasn't? Colossians 1:16 said he made that tree. He owned that tree. If he wanted to use it to make your life better, more bearable, more productive, and more powerful, More power to Him. Colossians 1:16 said He made it all. And it all belongs to Him. Now where are you? Mark chapter 5. Pick it up with me right here. I'm going to show you a woman who got a hold of the power of words in verse 25. Amen? Oh, man. You ever notice before you go to Mark chapter 5, country western music, how negative it is? Country western folks are more guilty of this than anybody else. My dog done got run over. Someone stole my boots. My trailer flipped. And my horse got killed. And now you're leaving me too. Thank you, Jesus, for taking all my stuff. Some of those songs, shut it off, baby. It's the devil trying to train you to use the law of faith in reverse. Hallelujah.
Yee-haw!
Thank you, Jesus, for taking all my stuff. Well, Jesus isn't guilty. Jesus said in John 10:10, it's the thief who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the number one way He does it is to get us to speak negatively against our covenant with God. That was anointed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a simple revelation, yet very powerful, extremely profound. Where are we? Mark 5? Look right here, we'll go through this quickly. A certain woman in verse 25 had an issue of blood 25 years. 12 years. Hallelujah, I'm reading verse 25. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, she had suffered many things of many physicians. 12 years now, amen? You women know what this would be like. Amen? This is terrible suffering. The kind of thing you can't even really talk about. Amen? Imagine in her day, no CVS pharmacy. Suffered many things of many physicians. Spent all she had, but was nothing bettered. Rather, grew worse. They just took her money, used her as a guinea pig. They knew they couldn't help her. But when she heard of Jesus, like you've heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, like you came here tonight, and touched His garment. You can touch Him with your faith. For she what? For she said. For she had said before she even got there, she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. None of this. What goes around comes around. Maybe God's teaching me something. You know, His wonders to behold. None of that coming out of this woman's mouth. She said, if I may touch His clothes, I'll be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. That is supernatural. After 12 years of a bloody flux. And she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Everybody's touching you, Jesus. And you're saying, who touched me? And Jesus looked around about to see her that had done this thing. He just ignored those boys. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't realize, sure, everybody in this crowd's touching me out of curiosity, but somebody touched me with their faith and pulled the power right out of my garment. I want to know who it is, please. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, if I may, she's blown away by what happened through the power of what she had previously spoken. Knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, girl, you're in big trouble now. He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Oh, glory. He said, daughter, thy faith, yeah, no, yes, it was His power, but it was faith in His power. It was her faith in His power released through the words of her mouth when she said, "If I can but touch His garment, I shall be whole." I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I think that you're understanding already, just 15, 20 minutes into this, if you've been speaking against the way you've been praying, you got some changes to make. And you can make them. The Holy Ghost will help you. Amen? James said that the human tongue is a fiery evil, and no man can tame it. What he meant was, it's impossible for us to tame the human tongue without the help of the Holy Ghost. We can't tame it without His help, but He's willing to help us. David said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over the door of my lips. Stand watch over the door of my mouth." Help me, David was saying, to never again speak against Your perfect will for me and mine. Everyone say, words have power.
Words have power.
It's in the Bible. It's in the book. It's in the book. Faith comes by. Faith works by. Faith is released through the. Faith comes by. Faith comes by. I can't hear that. Faith comes by. Faith works by. Faith is released through the. Jesus and Paul said it, not me. Amen. We got to watch what we say. Amen. Go to Luke chapter 17 if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time to get rid of some of those country western CDs. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You talk failure, you'll drop to the level of failure. Amen. You talk success, you'll rise to the level of success. Amen. Your faith will never rise any higher than your level of confession. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 3 and in Hebrews 4, you're going to Luke 17. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 and in Hebrews 4 that Jesus Christ is the apostle and the high priest of our profession. You look the word up, it says confession. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Your faith level's rising right now tonight, sitting in here, hearing the word of God preached. Not because I'm preaching it, because it's right out of the book, and it's coming by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, not by praying. You can't pray for more faith. You have to read the Word and hear the Word for faith to increase. Grace comes by praying. Faith comes by hearing. Amen? Now, and faith works by love, and faith is released through the mouth. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, "We believe, therefore we speak." We believe, therefore we speak. Don't let people run you off with this name it and claim it lie. That's the devil. You are a name it and a claim it. Face it. Learn to live with it. It's better to be a name it and a claim it than a doubt it and a live without it. Amen? That is disrespectful. Anytime, I've said this to you before, I'm going to say it to you again. I'm not going to keep you much longer tonight. Amen. I've had people say it to me before. Are you a name it and a claim it? And I always tell them, that's disrespectful. I'm not going to stand here and let you mock what my big brother Jesus died to provide. Jesus is a name it and a claim it. This principle came from Jesus, not Kenneth Hagin. He just had the brass to teach it for 60 years. Amen? Somebody came up to Brother Hagin one time and said to him, "Brother Hagin, you've been teaching on the power of words for 60 years. We want to hear something else." And he said, "Well, as soon as you get this down, we'll move on to something else." 60 years into it. Amen? This is a principle that Jesus taught, not Kenneth Copeland. They just got a hold of it like bulldogs and wouldn't let go. And we ought to thank God for those men. Amen. Where are you? Your words are your servants. You say that with me. Say, "My words are my servants. My faith is my servant. My faith is released through words. My faith is my servant. Therefore, my words are my servants. Now, you're over there where? In Luke chapter 17? Let me just go decide on a good place to pick this up in Luke chapter 17 here. Hallelujah. What are we talking about here tonight? We're talking about the power of words. Words have great power. Words have tremendous power. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Amen? Word of faith. Word of faith. Word of faith. I said that's right. Butterbean. Word of faith. That's me. Bucky boy. Amen? Hallelujah. Till the day I die. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Pick it up right here, Jesus. And the disciples, the apostles, said unto the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. And he didn't just lay hands on them to increase their faith, because that's not how faith comes. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Stop. Look. And listen. Give me a drink of water so I can whistle, will you? Look up here if you would, please. Don't read any further. I'm good, Maurice. Thank you. What a head usher we have, huh? Hallelujah. You know why Jesus said if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed? If you were here 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night, you already know. I'm going to tell you for the benefit of those who weren't here. Not, you've heard this taught, if you just had faith, you know, the mustard seed's the tiniest of all seeds. If you just had just the tiniest little bit of faith to where you could just barely see it, you could say to the sycamine tree. It's not what he was saying. He wasn't talking about the size of your faith. He was talking about the fact that the mustard seed is one of the few seeds in the world that cannot be hybridized. It cannot be cross-pollinated. It's an unchanging seed. No matter what you do to it or what you try to cross it with, it won't go. It'll always be a mustard seed. It's unchanging. Say unchanging.
Unchanging.
He's talking about having unchanging faith. In the same way the mustard seed is unchanging. It can't be changed. It can't be altered. He said if you make up your mind to make up your mind that you will have unchanging faith, when you see something in the Word God says you can have, you aren't going to take no for an answer. You're going to grab onto it like a bulldog and refuse to let go until it comes into manifestation. Then you can see the supernatural occur in your life. Did you get anything out of that? The mustard seed cannot be cross-pollinated. It's impossible to change it. It's an unchanging seed. He said, if you have unchanging faith, you can speak whatever you need or whatever you need to be rid of into manifestation, and your words will cause the will of God to come to pass in your life. As a matter of fact, the Bible reveals in Psalm 103, 20 and 21, that even when you're sleeping, if you will speak the word of God during your waking hours, the angels of God will do everything possible, naturally and supernaturally, to cause your words to come to pass. They will search the very avenues of God's wisdom, looking for ways, legally, morally, and scripturally, to cause your words to come to pass, even while you're sleeping, if only you will believe. Whoa, that's good. That's some good preaching. That's some good preaching. Your words are your servants. Your words are your servants. Words are containers. They contain life or death. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the what? The tongue. The tongue. The tongue. Now say my words are my servants.
My words are my servants.
My faith is my servant.
My faith.
My faith works by words.
My faith works by words.
Therefore,
my words
are my faith servants.
My faith.
Now look at what Jesus said about faith right here in Luke 17:5. Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you had faith as unchanging as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, it should obey you. What's he talking about? He said, if you had what? Faith. The disciples said, Lord, increase our what?
Faith.
Jesus said, if you had what? The disciples said, Lord, increase our what? Jesus said, if you had what? So what's he talking about? He's talking about faith. And look at the analogy he uses. Which of you having a servant? See, faith is your servant. He's still talking about what? Faith. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come in from the field, go and sit down, take a break, have something to eat. And would you rather not say unto him, your servant, talking about faith, no, don't you sit down, I'll let you know when I'm through with you. Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not, Jesus said. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants, we've done that which was our duty. What he's saying here in essence is this. Never let your faith rest. Never. When it's through working in one area, put it over on another area, but don't withdraw it and don't let it rest. Your words are your servants. Your faith is your servant. You are not to serve your words. You are not to be in subjection or in bondage to common negative sayings. And when you allow that to happen in your life, you allow Jesus to have died in vain. Get a revelation! Amen? Say with me now. Brother Maurice, come up here and pass these out if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me here if you would also, Terry. Pass these out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. We're closing. But before we do, we're going to covenant with God over the words of our mouth. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
Don't be calling this place that little church anymore, would you? Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Lynn? Lynn doesn't do it. I just happen to be looking at her. Amen? Amen? Let's not limit God with common negative speech. Let's say what the Word says. Amen? Hallelujah. Is there enough to go around? Hallelujah. Put your hand up if you haven't gotten one. We'll get one right to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Terry will help you right there. Hallelujah. We are going to enter a covenant with Almighty God as we close tonight. And it's early. It's only 8 o'clock. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time to change tonight. Amen? Say, O God, forgive me forever having spoken against your precious, holy, written Word. Forgive me for letting the devil trick me with common negative speech in Jesus' name. Now, if you'll take the top off of that, you'll see there's a little wafer in there. You take that, and we are going to enter into a blood covenant with Almighty God tonight, and we're going to commit to Him that we're going to watch our words from this night forth. Amen? No more speaking against our children! Amen? No more screaming at them, shouting at them. No more that damn kid of mine. You're damning them when you do that. Amen? That crazy grandchild of mine, I swear she's going to run out in the street and get killed one day. You bet she is. Amen? Words have power. Speak the solution to the problem. We are going to covenant with Almighty God tonight that if He'll help us, we'll obey Him. If the Holy Ghost will help us to get a hold right here, the biggest problem in our lives is that little hole right under our noses. We're going to believe the Holy Ghost to help us to grab hold of our tongues tonight. Never again, for levity's sake, use common negative speech. From now on, we say what we only want to come to pass in our lives. Amen? From now on, we speak Only of those things we desire to happen to us and not for us. For us and not to us. Thank you for correcting me. From now on, we speak only of those things we desire to occur for us and not to us. Amen. Never again pray for healing and ask why it's not working, when God's Word says it is working. Get your mouth in line with it. Never again pray for the salvation of a loved one and open your mouth and say, I don't see it working. God says it is working. Amen. We do a little thing and we keep our mouths in line with the precious, holy, written Word of God. God will do a big thing and He will cause the miraculous to occur. We are supposed to be living life with a parade of miracles occurring. You realize that? Most Christian people, the biggest problem they have is that little member called the tongue. And the night that He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread and He broke it and He gave thanks and He said, take, eat. Did everyone get one? Everyone has one? Is everyone in this room born again? Take, eat. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. He said, this bread symbolizes my body. Healing is in this bread. If you have need of bodily healing tonight as you sit here, you have growths in your body that have no right to be there. You have vision problems, hearing problems, internal organ problems, blood problems, bone problems, nerve problems. Jesus said, my body was broken to resolve those problems. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of my body, which was dismembered for your body's healing. Take that bread and do it by faith. Now commit to God and say it with me. Father, never again will I talk sickness. I'll talk healing. And I will receive healing. In Jesus' name. Satan, end of story. And on the same night He was betrayed, Jesus took the cup. And if you'll take the lid off that cup, we'll give you a second to get it off there. Hallelujah. We'll give you a second to get it off there. You just peel it right from that little angle tip on the end there, and it'll come off for you. Amen? Hallelujah. On the same night, He took the cup, and He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Do you know that healing's in the bread, and everything else you need or need to be rid of is in the cup? He said the bread was His body, which was broken for your, the healing of your body. But He said the cup, the blood, is the New Testament in my blood. The help you need to get a hold of your tongue is in the cup. Something supernatural occurs. Spirit, soul, and body. When we partake of the cup and we partake of the bread. Jesus said, when you partake of it, there I am in your midst by the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to help you tonight, to covenant with you tonight, to get a hold of your tongue. No more negative common speech. No more gossip. No more busybody. Say busybody. 1 Peter 4:15, that word's in the Bible. A woman said to me, that word's not even in the Bible. I said, you little busybody, it's in 1 Peter 4:15. All the help you need. She was a busybody. Hallelujah. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Before we partake of this cup, I want you to repeat after me as we covenant with the Holy Spirit. You say this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, please help me to get a hold of my tongue. No more negative speech. No more evil reports. No more allowing Jesus to die in vain. I see here tonight that life and death are in the power of my tongue. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, set a guard over the door of my mouth. Check me. Every time I say something negative, and I'll pull it back, and I'll say something positive. In Jesus' name. Now you just covenanted with the Holy Spirit. The power is in the cup. Partake of the cup, please. Lift your hands and thank Him. Lift your hands and thank Him. He's here with us tonight. This was His idea tonight. Not mine. Lift your hands and thank Him that you are delivered from negative, critical speech. You are delivered from gossip. You are delivered from speaking against the precious, holy, written Word of God. Oh, just give Him praise. Stand up if you would tonight, please. Stand up and give Him praise. Oh, brango seke perando arete. Your circumstances will come in line now as you continue to apply this godly principle. Say, I will. Speak the solution to the problem from this night forth. For I have covenanted with the Spirit of the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, my Father God, my Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and my Big Brother Jesus. From this night forth, I will speak solution, not problem, not even in jest. No more common negative jokes. No more common negative speech. Sickness, I rebuke you. Fear, I rebuke you. Confusion, I rebuke you. Lack, I rebuke you. Debt, I rebuke you. Satan, I rebuke you. In Jesus' name. I'm taking my tongue back as of this very night. In Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Now you just worship God. Let's sing a song to the Lord here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's believe the Holy Spirit to go with us as we go from here tonight and watch the way we talk. No more. Shut off that stinking country western station. Amen. Hallelujah. It's nothing but lying and glorifying, stealing and adultery and fornication. If it's not glorifying, you, everything you listen to, you ought to ask yourself this question. How is this glorifying God in my life? Everything you watch on TV, how is this glorifying God in my life? Every music song you listen to, every lyric you hear yourself humming along to, singing along to, how is this glorifying God in my life? Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now it's time to walk in that power through the power of words. Amen? Amen. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say, Pastor, I really love you, man.
Love you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give Him glory. Give Him